This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yo, yo, yo. Happy 2024, everyone. We are back with a milestone episode for us. This is episode 10. We have done 10 episodes of Address Unknown, and we are coming to you from another van on the west coast of Australia, WA, as they call it. That's an entirely different episode. We are about to discuss Adelaide and our drive from there back to Sydney. There's lots of drama, so let's get into it. All right, episode 10. We committed. We stuck to it, and I think that we've gotten better, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we're regulars now.
Yeah, I don't know that we're regulars. We definitely don't have a production team that is helping us with any of this, and
we're still recording in a van.
So there's still those noises that you're going to hear, but you know, the listeners have told us that we've gotten better, and so I will take that as positive feedback.
Yeah, I think one thing we should note that, thankfully, today you may not hear any rain.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows?
You would probably be rain-free for a little bit. But
well, it was raining just like half an hour
ago. Give it an hour.
So we'll see.
Real quick, just a correction to episode 9. Our friend Matt in Melbourne had pointed out the correct pronunciation of a town, which was by Bell's Beach, called, it's actually Torquay. It is not Torquay, it is not Torquay, it is Torquay. Thank you, Matt, for making that known. Any other language or interpretation corrections, holler.
Pronunciations.
Holler at us.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we start this episode with the arrival in Adelaide. We were staying at a caravan park close to the city center. It was only about 15-20 minute bus ride out of downtown. So it'll be a great sight. It was overlooking a river with these extensive bike trails.
And you know how much I love a campsite on a river.
It's like a prerequisite now.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
If we can. If we're not in a desert, which we'll get into in a little bit. But yes, it was a very lovely campground.
the next day we were getting prepped because we had another wine tour booked.
Of course.
This tour was going to be in the Barossa Valley, which is an area north of Adelaide. Another popular wine region, this time known for its more darker red wines.
Yes, because of the temperature and the climate, right, for growing these grapes. So they're up at the top of the hill before you get into the valley. There are some white wines. So we did taste some of those as well on this tour. But really, the Barossa Valley is well known for their reds.
Their Pinots.
Yes.
And the Shiraz.
Yeah, some. Mm-hmm.
The tour this time around was a little bit larger of a group, which is fine, but it does change the dynamic a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we stopped at a couple attractions along the way. Then we did end up visiting three vineyards on this tour. Our favorite combined, I think, was the Rosenvale.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really because, in my opinion, the guide or the person at the vineyard had so much charisma. That
it just, yeah, the guy who runs the vineyard, like,
he's more enjoyable.
He's the, like, head. He's not the winemaker, but no, he just kind of, like, runs the program.
He was the GM,
right? Exactly. Vineyard. And he was just, like, this awesome personality. And I think, like, the two other vineyards that we had been to prior, well, they were fine and they were beautiful, and obviously you love a tasting, but the people who were, like, walking you through the tasting, it just felt very canned, right? Like,
yeah.
Very salesy,
turn and burn kind of attitude.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of uniqueness to it, where this guy, I mean, he right off the bat admitted to the fact that he had already, like, drank an entire bottle of wine right before we got there, so he was also a little, like, loosey-goosey, which I think made it super fun.
Yeah, but he was great, obviously very knowledgeable, and then the personality made mm-hmm. the experience so much better.
Yeah.
We did buy three bottles while at Rosenvale.
Yes, we did.
And these were going to be saved for a later part in the drive.
Yeah.
For the holidays.
You told me that I could buy only three bottles, and I held off until the last vineyard, and that's where I bought the three.
On the way home,
mm-hmm.
we decided to get dropped off in downtown rather than back at our original pickup location. Because
yep.
we wanted to get an opportunity to explore a little bit more of Adelaide.
Yeah, we hadn't gone into the town yet. We got there the first afternoon, just kind of hung out at the campsite. And then, yeah, it was like, all right, let's see what Adelaide has to offer.
And this was getting close to the holidays, so all the work holiday parties were in full swing. We ended up going and stopping at the Soul Rooftop,
yep.
which was in a hotel rooftop bar.
But, like, good view of
the city. Yeah. You kind of have to. It's one of those that are cliche-type roof deck bars.
Yeah.
In a new city, because you can see everything then.
Yeah.
Real simply from above.
Except for it was windy as hell.
Yeah.
We didn't stay long.
We stayed for one drink and got off that roof.
Yeah. You felt like you were going to get blown off. The wind, the rain, the flies, Australia.
We made our way down to the street level.
Mm-hmm.
And then we headed out for some dinner and ended up down on Peel Street. Which, similar to Melbourne, they have these, like, little lanes and bars and cafes and restaurants in their pedestrian walkways.
Yeah, pedestrian street. So no cars can drive down a bunch of different bars and restaurants. And so we found one, Peel Street, which mm-hmm. was incredible. The food was really, really good. Like, that meal is, like, burned into my memory.
They had, like, a special appetizer
mm-hmm.
that you liked.
I did. We've talked about this. For some reason, halloumi is a big thing here. But so it's halloumi on these slices of watermelon with pickled vegetables. Like, it was just an amazing amalgamation of flavors in my mouth. I loved it.
Yeah, and paired with a little bit of very delicious orange wine.
Really good. Which we tried to find, and it ended up, it was sold out, because I was like, we're going to drive to this place and we're going to get some of this orange wine. That's how good it was. But maybe someday we'll be able to find it again.
The craziest part about the meal, aside from the food being really good and the wine being great and just the people watching on Peel Street, was our server identifies our accent.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, you guys sound like you're from America. We said, yeah, we are. And she said, oh, I went to college there. And we said, oh, where'd you go to college? And she said, I went to East Stroudsburg.
She was like, you won't know it.
That's right.
Tiny town.
She goes, that's right. She goes, I went to East Stroudsburg University in Pennsylvania.
And we're like, shut up.
So for our PA pod, our crowd in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
They know East Stroudsburg.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
It's like 30 minutes from where our house was in Pennsylvania. It's the regional college for the Poconos.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up talking to her for like this like long time. We're holding her up from serving other tables because we were just going back and forth.
How is this possible? We're like, we would go there all the time because it was kind of like the best place to get food. You had your Target there and your Home Depot.
Yeah,
like that's
it was the only
where
place to get anything.
Yeah. To get things. So we were in East Stroudsburg all the time. And so we were like, how the hell did a young woman from Adelaide, Australia, end up in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania?
But she told us.
She went for the sports.
Field hockey.
Yeah, she field hockey. She got a scholarship. She thought it would be close to New York City. It is close, but she actually said they went to the city a lot, and it is, it's like an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, so she was like, yeah, we went into the city a lot, and we're like, not shocking, because after 4 years of going to college in East Stroudsburg, I can imagine you'd want to get into New York City as much as possible. Small world, right? Yeah. Like crazy.
And for anybody interested in the Poconos, revert back to episodes 1, 2, and 3 probably. They're mentioned quite a bit. That's when we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a crazy coincidence.
Yep.
The next day we got up and we took the free city bus that will do a loop in Adelaide around the whole city. And you can just hop on, hop off. It's not even a tourist bus. The public transportation bus is just free.
As long as you're staying in the inner city loop, I think that's what it's called, actually.
That's correct.
Like, you can just hop on, hop off as much as you want, and it's totally free, which was amazing.
Exploring Adelaide, we saw a bunch of beautiful arcades, lots of shops, and of course, like cool street art. It's kind of a thing in Australian cities.
Mm-hmm.
We had lunch at Shobosho.
Oh,
like Japanese place.
Amazing meal as well. With amazing orange wine again.
And we actually headed to the market.
We did.
Take a look around.
Gotta check out the local market, right?
Yeah, all said and done, Adelaide's kind of a forgotten town in the country, it seems like, for most, like, at least most Americans thinking of Australia. It's a nice city. It's a mid-size. It's not big like Sydney.
Mm-mm.
And it just has really good vibes. Good public transportation. People are biking everywhere. The weather was ideal.
Yeah, lots of parks, lots of greenery. There's a big river that runs right through the middle of the city. It just seems like a really nice balance of city and nature. And yeah, we liked it. We enjoyed it.
Just far from everything. That's the only problem.
It is, yeah. So we spent 3 lovely nights in Adelaide, but then it was time to move on. So we drove Wanda 3 hours to the town of Renmark, where we were driving along the River Murray. This is a very large river, and therefore the land that the river runs through is called the Riverlands. And as we were driving, there are all these signs, and actually someone had warned us about this, right? Where there was all these ban on foods that you could bring into the Riverlands because there was an outbreak of fruit flies. And these aren't the fruit flies you see in the US. These are nasty looking things. We were like, well, we've been in South Australia, right, for a while, and the food that we have in the van was purchased in South Australia, so it should be fine. But then there's all these signs saying if you have food, you need to have a receipt to show that you bought it in South Australia. And we're like, we didn't keep the receipt. And in fact, Farber always yells at me for keeping the receipts.
Worthless pieces of paper.
So we'd thrown all of them away. And we had a lot of food. But we were like, you know what? We're gonna risk getting pulled over or having to like go into one of these checkpoints.
Sorry to interrupt you. They are very serious.
They're very serious.
This is not like
it.
A joke. Like,
no.
To us, we thought this was like, okay, you're going from one state to another. Why would you have to declare food items or get rid of any sort of fresh fruit or nuts or soils. Mm-hmm. But agriculturally, Australia is so independent by region that they are very concerned about their crops being...
Different
types of species, like insect species that could decimate grape vines or could decimate stone fruit trees. So yeah. They take it very seriously, whereas we thought it was just overly protective.
Again, we weren't being negligent either. All of the food that we had bought in South Australia. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have proof that we had. So we were like, all right, if, you know, we'll feign dumb American that we didn't know this and also be able to show them our itinerary and be like, we've been in South Australia for a long time. So any of this food was purchased there. But we didn't get pulled over. Anyway, we got to Renmark, and this holiday park that we stayed at in Renmark was
nice.
Real, real pimped out. It had a lot of offerings. There was a small water park for the children. There was a pool. There was a hot tub. There was a gym, which we were super excited about. They brought in food trucks, and there were movie times, indoor and outdoor movie viewing for the kids as well. So tons of offerings. Massive, massive park. Once again, we had a spot right on the river, right on the Murray.
Murray.
Mm-hmm.
It's a prerequisite. We must be on the river.
Yes, if there is one, have now. To be on the river. And people brought in their boats. They brought in jet skis. There were people kneeboarding, which I haven't seen since I was a child. But you wonder, is it because it's Australia and they're 20 years behind? Or is it just retro cool again? Who knows? People fishing. There are also these massive houseboats that you can rent.
To stay on. These are not a houseboat like you see... You know, on Lake Minnetonka, like in Minnesota or something. These were
huge,
like two stories.
Multiple sun decks and stuff. So yeah, they would come cruising by. That definitely seemed to be a thing. So I don't know, it was great. The weather was amazing. It was sunny. We were on water. So those two things right now go a long way for us. The next day, this place also rents bikes, which is nice. So we could bike into town. So a running joke in our relationship is Farber always wants to get a tandem bike. He wants us to cruise around town on a tandem bike. And
looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. No. I've always said no. Like, absolutely not. I will be the first person to admit that I am a control freak. And so being on the back and not having any control was not something that I was looking forward to. I mean, it happened very early on in our relationship, right? You had a motorcycle.
Correct.
And we would go on rides and I would be on back. And I was like, no, I don't like this. I don't like just sitting there idly, not being in control. And so I very quickly went out and got my motorcycle license and got my own bike, and we would go on rides, but we each had our own vehicle. And that's how I feel about bicycles. And I should have stuck to my guns and should have said no to the tandem bike this time. But for some reason I gave in, and I hated every single second of it.
What a great ride.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
No, I was
twice the power.
Horrible. Yeah, you have to pedal at the same time. That's super annoying too. Like, the seat was insanely uncomfortable. Handlebars were so low, and you know, there was a couple of times, Farber, where you weren't in the most controlled. We almost hit a pole at one point. Like, there were some questionable actions taken as the person in control of the tandem bike.
I disagree, but okay. Let's move on.
So, anyway, we biked into Renmark. We were super excited because we had read on this website that there was going to be a market. It's almost Christmas, so there's got to be stuff going on. No. Nar.
They forgot to remove that from the website.
Yeah, yeah. That was a couple years old, and that market hadn't happened for a long time. So,
Renmark was sleepy.
There was not a lot going on in the town of Renmark. But we did find, and this has sparked a love affair for you, an RSL. Why don't you talk about what an RSL is and why you love it so much?
Yeah, so RSL stands for Returned Service League. And essentially what this is, it's the equivalent of a VFW in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike a VFW in the United States, you must be a member by military standings, meaning you have to be a vet or related to a vet generally.
Or some of them you can sign in, but these
are open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And they tend to be kind of classier. I mean, not classier, but they look like a casino buffet.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. There's always gaming.
There's always
right?
gaming. So you go in, and there's like the arcade games, meaning there's no like live gambling.
No.
But there are horse races.
Yep.
And there are
dog races. Yep, like digital. Digital and real, all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so there's multiple TV screens that you can go and bet on all of these races.
They have a full bar and a full restaurant.
Yep.
And they have, when you get the menu, there's a member rate mm-hmm. and a non-member rate mm-hmm. or a guest rate. If you're a member, you're generally, as we said, a veteran, and you can also get a discounted purchase price on things.
$2 to $3 cheaper. Not that much cheaper. But
these places are cheap to begin with.
Yes, they're very cheap.
That's why they're great for people who are traveling like us. Like mm-hmm. So you can go in and for like $30, you can eat lunch and have drinks and sit and enjoy yourself. Like, and they're usually in these cool sort of like overlooks, like overlooking a river or overlooking like the streetscape of the small town.
Yeah, the one in Renmark was right on the river.
Yeah.
So this was our first experience. You go in. I don't think this one we had to give our... give our license?
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, they scan your license, and you get a receipt, essentially. And all of them are different. Some of them, then you can go in and just show your receipt, and it's good for 3 days or 5 days. Some of them, it's just 1 day. But I think, as a tourist, you would just think that you wouldn't be allowed in these things.
Right.
And so we just, we went in and we were like, all right, can we come in and have lunch here? And they're like, yeah, totally. Just give us your ID. And that was it. And so that started our love affair with the RSLs. And we have now, wherever we are, if there is an RSL, we will go. So anyway, it was great. Outside of the horrible tandem bike ride to and from town, beautiful day, but it started to get insanely hot, like 40 degrees. And so it was pool time. We went to the pool, chilled, relaxed. That night when we were making dinner at the camp kitchen, there was an outdoor movie showing of Paddington Bear 2, which we went outside and ate our dinner and watched with the children. The next day, more pool times, because again, how often do we have these beautiful, warm, sunny days? And then that night, they brought in two different food trucks for dinner. And then there was also a truck from the local distillery, local gin and vodka distillery. So we got a couple RTDs. We got some, it's Thai food, Thai food for dinner that night. It was great. And while we were there, we got to work out in the gym.
I think just so people understand, like, these amenities go a long way when you're in a van and you don't have any for a long time. Like, when you're making every meal yourself, when there is no television, and when you can be...
hardly internet.
Yeah, sometimes not so much great internet. And then oftentimes you're in places that are just sweltering and there's, like, no reprieve, right? There's no lake, there's no river, there's no ocean. So these things to have in a park, while full of families and you know, kind
of lots of people,
very sort of Disney-esque, they are, they're nice to have when you have not had anything for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's interesting that you say that, because so I had booked this park, and after this park you were like, I don't want to stay at these big Walt Disney type parks anymore. I want something more rustic, more rural. Like, I don't want people on top of me all the time. So the next day, we left Renmark, and we drove through the cute town of Mildura. Very, very cute town. I had booked a camp site in the town of Mildura because I was like, oh, this looks like a cool town, has a lot going on, and it actually did. Really great brunch there that day. So we continued on from Mildura to Mungo National Park. Let's just say it was supposed to be 3.5 hours from Renmark, but ended up being an additional 2. We'll get into that.
Yeah, before the drama ensues, and I started having to walk back things I've said recently and be reprimanded more by Jonica, we are going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is episode 10, Address Unknown. At this point, we have taken Wanda, our camper van, from Renmark, stopped in the town of Mildura, and we are making our way to Lake Mungo State Park.
State Park, National Park, I'm not really sure, but yeah, a park, nonetheless.
So, upon departing for Lake Mungo State Park, we looked at the Google Maps and we said, listen, this is going to be 1.5 hours from here, easy drive, and we should be just fine. We should get there by 1-2 o'clock, no big deal. So a few things led us astray. First, the van, we had specific instructions to not go off-road.
Correct, which to me, off-road was like, don't drive the van on the beach, right? Where we are right now, people drive their cars on the beach. So yeah, of course, we're not gonna drive off-road. It's a van. It's not a four-wheel drive vehicle. And I had specifically looked at getting to this park, what that meant, right? Like, can you take a two-wheel drive vehicle to the park? Like, you don't have to have four-wheel drive. And I was like, yes, it's accessible to two-wheel drive vehicle. So I was like, perfect, great, okay.
So one thing that we've learned about Google Maps, and this is to not necessarily trust the timeline they give you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Because what this, let's say, 30-minute drive
should have taken
turned into a 2-hour drive. And not only was it a long drive, Lake Mungo no longer has any lakes. These lakes all dried up 40,000 years ago. But on Google Maps, you see several bodies of water, including one titled Lake Mungo.
So Farber thinks that we're driving to this beautiful lakefront campsite, and we're literally driving into the bowels of hell.
It was insane. The road, first, it took us 2 hours.
Yeah, right? Let's just hope that Wanda's parents aren't ever going to listen to this, because we broke rules. Like, we were not supposed to take Wanda on that road.
It literally, like, the van sounded like it was going to rattle off at the rails. Like, the wheels were going to fall off, the doors were going to, every bolt was loose by the time we were done with this road.
This was another thing that we learned, is that in Australia, there's sealed, a.k.a.
blacktop.
Paved blacktop roads, or unsealed roads, which could mean a variety of things. And so this road, oh my god, how was it, like 35 or 40
it was like 40 kilometers, so we're talking, not, you know, like 18 to 20 miles.
Yeah,
took us 2 hours,
and everyone else was blowing past us. If you had some sort of regular SUV or car, granted that car's not going to be doing well after that, but whatever, people were blowing past us. I was not going above 15k the entire time.
Yeah.
Because this van, Wanda was, she was not happy.
This reminds me of our first problematic drive, in which we misread Google Maps. We were on our honeymoon in Albania. Some people do know this story. If you don't, feel free to reach out. But what we thought was a 2-hour drive through the mountains of Albania to get to Vlorë, this like beachside community, turned into a goat trail. Literally took us 8 hours. We were rationing water.
We were in a Peugeot manual. this thing, we had rocks almost coming through the floor of this car. I thought we were going to be stuck there forever. I was like, we have no cell service. We were rationing water. We had no food. Anyway, this drive was second to that. Yes. That was the first time that Google Maps screwed us. This is the second time.
So we've almost been divorced twice because of driving services. But so we eventually do make it to our campsite
eventually
in Lake Mungo National Park here. And it's very primitive. It's what I had been seeking, yes, as Janneke spoke about earlier, meaning there's no running water in the sense of provided water. There is no camp kitchen. There are, we'd call them like primitive outhouse style bathrooms, like a hole in the ground with a bucket type seating position. And it's hot, right? It's getting up there at this point in time. I thought, no problem if it's hot, there's a lake. But we learned very quickly after we took our first walk down to this beautiful overlook, there used to be a lake. And now
there used to be a lot of lakes.
There used to be a lot of lakes. It was 40,000 years ago. And so we're looking out now, you know, at this overlook that it's this huge expanse of nothing but dry desert grass. A few animals here and there, like a bird, but remote. And so we make our way back to the van. It's time for dinner. So Janneke's cooking away in the van, and all of a sudden,
in a couple different aspects, the word away.
Yes. So these like kangaroos start to show up and gather as soon as they hear a drip of water on a tap. And so to be clear, while I say there was no water provided, there were large rain reservoir containers that you could use to like gather water for washing dishes and that sort of thing. It was not potable. You can't drink it.
Yeah.
So the second you turn that tap, the kangaroos come out of the woodwork. Like, literally hopping out of the grass.
Because they're dying of thirst. Because you are literally in a desert. There is no water anywhere.
So, the kangaroos are all waiting around. Sort of like when, like, you go to feed your dog and you're filling up the bowl and the dog comes running and waits. These kangaroos came right away. And Janneke, being a little emotionally...
I love animals. And I felt bad. I was like, they're dying of thirst.
They're wild animals, and they all survive without water.
They just need water.
But, so... As a result of this, Janneke says, I'm just going to give them, you know, I'm going to cut them a break. I'm going to give them a bowl of water. So, no big deal. One bowl of water gets put out. And immediately, like, the aggression from the kangaroos starts.
Oh, my God.
And they start fighting each other. And, like, most of them were female, and there was, like, two maybe dominant males. Little guys.
Yeah, small ones.
And they were just scrappy and, like, chasing and snarling at each other for this bowl of water. So, seven bowls of water later, maybe...
I gave them a lot of water.
The kangaroos start getting aggressive with us as we go to, like, get the bowl from them.
Yeah, they're not wanting to leave it alone. And so that's when I was like, all right, no more water. Like, you're done.
Yeah, it was insane. But check it out. We'll put them on, maybe we can put them on the post.
We'll put them on the gram.
Yeah.
Post the videos of the kangaroos fighting. And they make crazy noises. We didn't know that they made noises because we hadn't heard any noises until this point. But they were very thirsty, and they were just trying to fight for the water.
You know, they say don't feed the wild animals. This is exactly why.
Feed them.
Give them water, feed them, whatever. This is why. So it was our first night of sleep was very hot.
It was so hot.
We woke up real early because we had not had a great sleep.
Too hot.
And we said, listen, let's make our way to the ranger station because we want to know, A, if there's some trails around here to explore, but B, how do we avoid going back 2 hours on that dirt, unpaved road, right?
Because, of course, we didn't have any service.
There was no internet. And there were no maps anywhere.
No.
And we didn't have, like, a road map with us because we were children of the internet age.
Yes.
So we get the station, the ranger station is supposed to be open from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 daily. That's sort of the hours they hold. We get there at, like, 9 o'clock, and there's a sign on the door that says, we will be closed... The 18th. Well, it's the 19th, and they're still closed. And they're like, "We'll be opening at 10:30." Okay, so
closing at 3:30.
Yeah, yes.
Taking a short day.
Casual work. Like a handwritten sign. So we're like, "Okay, fine. This is
with the wrong date."
Yeah, like this is in the middle of nowhere. No big deal. Let's go for a hike. We'll come back, and they'll be open. So while we're standing there, this Australian man is reading the same sign, and he said, "That's the wrong date." And we were like, yeah, it's the wrong date and it's the wrong time. And he just says this key phrase that we've learned very quickly to adapt.
This has become our key phrase now.
That's Australia for you.
With a shrug.
You just shrug.
That's like, Australia for you.
That's how it goes.
That's it.
We did our hike. We got to see some huge red kangaroos. This was the first time. They're finally bigger than most of the kangaroos we've seen. When people think of like the stereotypical...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Kangaroo in Australia. You're
the
seeing,
jacked one.
Yeah, you're thinking red kangaroos, yeah. Not mostly common, which is the grays. It is these red kangaroos, which are more rare, and they are larger.
They're huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not all over the country. They tend to be in like the central south. Mm-hmm. Within the park, we got to see a ton of emus. We saw a family of 12 at one point.
Yeah, huge.
And for all the fathers out there who think they do all the work, the emus, when the eggs are hatched, the female takes off.
Yep.
And the male raises the baby emus.
Yep. Sounds right to me.
This guy had 12.
Yeah, he did.
It was just crazy.
Yeah. There was a lot. And there was one little runty one that he was waiting for. It was very sweet. There were a ton of emus in this park.
They're like giant. They're like ostriches.
But like cooler looking. I think prettier.
They're prettier than ostriches. Yeah. Yeah. But we also got to see Eastern Blue Tongue, which is a lizard. About a foot long, maybe. Mm-hmm. Stubby. It looks like a dinosaur. And really, you can't tell its face from its tail because they look the exact same.
They're so prehistoric looking. And
another,
crazy.
Another fascinating fact which I learned about them, they mate for life.
I know. It's sad because they go and they lay on the roads to get warm and then they get hit by cars and then I guess...
You get some widows.
I guess they have to go find another mate for life? I don't know. Lots of lizards on this hike. Thank goodness. No snakes.
No snakes at all. We got to see also some Gould's monitors. Again, another lizard. Mm-hmm. And we got to see a central bearded dragon that was hanging out by a tree by some kangaroos.
Yep.
By this time, it was like 11 o'clock maybe. We were done.
Oh my God.
We were like
so
cooking.
Hot.
Cooking. It was 40 degrees at this point, which is like 104 Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm. Again, I would have dipped my toes in that Lake Mungo, given there was a lake.
You don't sweat, but your skin is caked in salt because you're just, you're sweating, but it evaporates right away. So it was hot, but again, it was only 11 o'clock. So I was like, all right, Farber, I know you're angry and I know you don't want to keep going, but we're going to drive out to the walls of China. Now, again, this should have been a very easy drive. But given that this was another unsealed road, 10Ks took us about 30 minutes. But I'd say it was worth it.
Yeah.
We had nothing else to do besides bake in the sun and deal with the flies again. So these are sand and sandstone formations, again, from like back when this actually was a lake. And they kind of look like miniature version of Hodos, rock formations that you might see in like Zion or Bryce Canyon. Really, really pretty. So we walked out. There's a really nice little like walkway out to where you can view the formations. Took some pics and then headed back to make some lunch in the van. And then this is what I really forced you to do. We continued on our drive. Probably another, 20, 30 minutes up this hill to see what I will describe as miniature versions of the formations that you would see in the Badlands. I've never been to the Badlands, but white sandstone rock formations. Again, much smaller. But by this point, it had reached 43 degrees. Yeah. Like, it just kept getting hotter. And so we're like, all right, let's go back past our campsite. 2 kilometers, there is this, I'm using air quotes right now, resort.
Lake Mungo Resort, it was called.
Yes. Yeah. And because we were like, all right, they're going to have air conditioning, right? And they did. And hopefully they'll have Wi-Fi. They did not. But we were like, all right, let's just go there. We'll get a drink. We'll cool off and just chill. And we were the only people there outside of the young woman working the front desk.
Yeah, the best part was that we went into the main lobby of the hotel, and this is young woman's at the desk. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hey, do you have like a restaurant or a bar we can just like hang out and have a drink?
We were just so hot.
Yeah. So we like, she's like, yeah, of course. And so we like, she's like, right this way. And so she points us in the direction, and then she comes around and she's the bartender too.
Yep. It's like a work in the front desk and work in the bar.
It's a one-woman show.
No one there.
There was no one there.
There's no one there. She's from the UK. You can tell by her accent right away. And I think you go up and you ask her, like, if they have Wi-Fi. And she's like, oh, no, you're American, right? And you're like, yes. And she's like, oh, my boyfriend is American. And he said that in America, all the roads are paved and you can get Wi-Fi everywhere. We're like, yeah, pretty much. I mean, not every road is paved, but
paved in gold, my lady.
Yeah, yeah. And you were talking to her, and you were like, "Well, where's your boyfriend from? If he's American?" And this was another crazy thing. He was from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which probably an hour and a half from our house in Pennsylvania. But not only that, that is where your uncle.
Yeah, Uncle Jim's from Wilkes-Barre,
Uncle
Pennsylvania.
Uncle Jim was from, yes, Wilkes-Barre. So it was. Again, another small world situation where you're like, how in the matter of days do we meet two people who have this connection to these tiny towns in Pennsylvania that were not too far from our house that we had in PA. But no, it was great. We got to chill in the air conditioning, played some Connect 4,
yeah,
which I hadn't played in 5 million years. But hey, what are you going to do when it's 5 million degrees outside? So did that for a little bit. We went back to our site. I was over it. The flies, and there were biting ants, and I locked myself in the van, and I was like, I would rather, like, sweat to death in this van than be out here in the heat with the insects. And so we made dinner, tried to get some sleep, didn't go so well, because we knew the next day, driving out, we did still have another 2-hour drive on an unsealed road to get us to our next destination. But thank God we were leaving a month ago.
It was about that time that I started talking to Jonica, and I was like, I'm sick of these primitive campsites. Like, why didn't we stay somewhere nice? Why didn't we stay in like a holiday park that has amenities?
Oh.
And that was probably the wrong conversation to start at that hour of the day, because it was 2 hours ahead of a drive that you didn't want to do, and that you had planned. You had it all teed up, and I was like, nope, let's go primitive. So things do get more positive. We're going to start getting into that when we return. We promise. This is part of traveling. It's kind of how it goes.
It is.
So we will we'll return in just a second.
All right, we are back, episode 10 of Address Unknown. So really quickly, let's just recap some of the things, Farber, that you've learned, and some things that you now, hopefully, I mean, this isn't always going to be the case, but will listen to me.
Yeah, this is not part of Love and Learn. This is just Jonica reiterating things that I have learned out of this experience.
That, you know what, the popular parks, there's some advantages to them, right? And sometimes you want a pool. Sometimes you want a camp kitchen. Sometimes you want some amenities, right? And I think you're at the point now where we're almost at 8 weeks in a van of in some sorts that amenities are good. It's okay to let me want to buy more water and wine. Right? Because you run out of those things, and no one should have to ration their water or their wine. Do you agree?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Everybody has now heard the three things Mark learned while in Lake Mungo beyond the lack of geographical lakes, which said were there.
I know.
We departed Mungo. We drove the unplanned extra 2 hours down the unsealed road, and then another 3.5 hours to the town of Hay. Mm-hmm. So all said and done, Jonica was at the wheel for a minimum 5 hours here of driving that day.
It was a very long day.
We, with some foresight from Jonica, she just said, listen, like, let's book a room at a hotel. You're going to want to be in a motel after spending 2 days in the desert.
And let me just say, you were, like, really mad at me for booking this motel in the first place, right? Like, when I booked it, you were like, ugh, you were so upset. And then once we got there, you're like, thank God.
Like, it had showers, it had towels.
Yeah.
It had full beds.
Had it not been raining, it had a pool.
Yep, that's true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jonica was not wrong. Like, this was, when we got there, crazy rain coming down, crazy lightning. It was, like, rolling right over us. So it was very much a good respite to be out of Wanda for the night.
Yes.
Hay was a tiny town.
So small.
Sort of like when you drive through the United States and you're like, oh, there's Main Street, and you like blink and it's gone. That mm-hmm. was what Hay mm-hmm. is very similar to. But it's cute. It's got its typical hotel pub. We didn't realize it, but we went out to get food that night and to go to dinner, and there was a single...
Only one place open.
Yeah, there was just it was called a bistro.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened at 6. So we're like, okay, whatever, we'll go. We got there at 6:15.
We didn't even know what time it was, honestly. But there was already a line, like, out the door.
Out the door, people.
And we were like, holy shit, okay. But ordered dinner, had our dinner. It was lovely.
Yep.
It had stopped raining by this point. It was a little bit cooler, which was very nice after being in Mungo and almost dying from heat exhaustion.
Yeah, got up the next day. We made our way to the van because it was time to drive to Kaura.
Yes.
Kaura. And it's a 5-hour drive, which Jonica, again, handled very professionally without too much yelling. Because we were not going to be going back along the coast as we had come down to get to Adelaide. We were driving back to Sydney, which requires that you go through, we call it the interior.
That's not even close. But yes, not along the coast, though.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so... This is a loop we were mm-hmm. choosing to do, to get from point A to point B. So longer drives back to back, whereas on the way down, we kind of got to take our time.
Well, there's just more to see, right?
True.
When you're like along the coast, and here it's kind of like you're just picking these tiny little towns to stop in, to break it up. But we didn't leave as much time for the return trip, which we did on purpose, but that just meant longer driving days.
Right. And people, don't be mistaken that the coasts are where things exist in this country. There is very mm-hmm. little in mm-hmm. the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
There's very little, if anything. Like, again, it'll say last point to fill up on petrol for the next 200 kilometers.
Yeah. You don't want to run out of anything when you're driving down these roads. Because also, I was thinking about this. I was like, if something happens and we do have to pull over, there's no shoulder. I don't even know how you pull over. If you run out of gas or you blow a tire. I don't know. There's literally nowhere.
We've got 9 days left in this van. Let's just not jinx anything. Let's just leave it as is until we get to the 10th of January when we're no longer in a van and at risk. But anyway, we digress.
Kaura.
Yes, the town of Kaura. Oh my gosh.
Cute.
It was great. We had a site on the holiday park overlooking a river again.
Yay.
It had a larger main street, if you will. Still operating shops.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little place. Lots of history, most of it dating back to World War II, and lots of monuments for the veterans of World War II. The first evening, we did a short little walk, 5-10 minutes, and stumbled upon another RSL.
Mm-hmm.
This is Edmonton.
Yeah. The best part was, though, there was an elderly woman working the desk at this one. And we walk in, and you haven't been carrying a wallet. So right away, though, she was like, all right, I need your IDs. And I was like, okay. So I gave her mine, and you were like, I don't have my ID. And she's like, well, I can give you just get a day pass then. That's it. That's my pass was good for 5 days.
Right. I got a day pass. And I was a guest of Jonica, who was technically a guest.
A guest of a guest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the town of Kaura, as we talked about, small, but it did have this amazing Japanese garden. And this is the largest in the Southern Hemisphere. It was massive.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well done. It had rolling hills. It had rivers. It had tea gardens.
It was beautiful.
Totally worth stopping in Kaura to go to the Japanese garden, to be honest. We were a little bit shocked at the $20 entry fee per person.
Seemed kind of steep.
Well, we haven't paid to get into almost any park in Australia.
I know. And then in the middle of nowhere, that's where you have to pay for the park.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Kaura.
In Kaura.
The following evening, we then decided to go back to the RSL for dinner.
Ooh, splurge.
And this it's because they're affordable. And they have everything. They have, like we talked about, gaming, dinner, drinks, all of that. And it's cheap.
And it's very local. This one was funny because the woman who took our food order was like, "Oh my gosh, are you American?" And we're like, "Yeah." And she's like, "I'm going to come talk to you. I want to know everything about America." And she did. When it slowed down, she came over and she was just firing off questions at us. So that's also, we've talked about this, but a really funny thing about these small towns is they're just so shocked.
Why what are you doing here?
The hell?
That's always a question.
Are you in this town?
Why are you here?
Yeah.
But after dinner, we took a walk back to the holiday park, jumped on the roof platform of Wanda, and watched the large bats battle the cockatiels.
Yeah. It was this weird, epic battle. They're not friends. I don't know if the bats were eating the babies or the eggs or something, but it was a cacophony of noise between the bats and the cockatiels, and it was definitely a battle happening out over the river.
This is TV for us, guys. When you're in the van, that is as close as it gets to entertainment.
I mean,
jump on that roof.
Come on, David Attenborough shit right there in real life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We were then on to our final stop the next day. Final stop with Wanda.
Yeah.
Of the Wanda journey.
Mm-hmm.
And this was going to be in the Blue Mountains of Australia, which are about an hour and a half outside of Sydney.
Yep.
We were heading into the Christmas time, so we wanted to make sure that we had a number of days.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Is to stop with Wanda, do some relaxing. We also knew that the Blue Mountains were notorious for like their hiking.
Yep.
And they did not disappoint.
No, it was beautiful.
We were basically in the Grand Canyon of Australia for the last few days leading up to Christmas.
Because last year, over Christmas, we were in the Grand Canyon. So there was all these, we kept comparing it to the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm. But it's not as big. So like, to be clear, a few things, put this in perspective. The Grand Canyon is nearly 5,000 square kilometers in size. Whereas the Blue Mountains are 2,700 square kilometers.
Yes. Yeah. So not nearly as big, but very, very epic. Katoomba was a cute town.
Yeah, Katoomba is where we're staying.
Yeah. Very touristy, obviously, because it is the town of the Blue Mountains. So a lot, you know, a number of grocery stores, restaurants, coffee shops, bars. Kind of a bustling little,
very,
you know.
Very bohemian, kind of like mountain town, hippie town type place.
Very mountain town vibes. So we arrive and we know, looking at the weather conditions, surprise, surprise, we're only going to have 2 days of good weather. We were there for 4 days total, I think, right?
Yep, that's correct.
So right away we get there, we kind of set up camp and then we set out to hike to see the Three Sisters. This is a very popular rock formation and there were three, unlike the 12 apostles where there were only three apostles that we saw, there were actually three sisters. Really nice hike, not super difficult. Came back to the camp and right across the way there was this lovely Dutch couple that we kind of struck up a conversation with and we're like, all right, after dinner, let's have drinks together. And so we did. And we went over to their van and we sat out until, I want to say like 11 or 1130, which was like super late for us.
Yeah.
And drank bottles of wine and we made hot toddies because it got real cold at night there.
Yeah.
And we all got nice and toasty and
yeah, Kim and Yus were super cool.
Yeah, they were amazing.
And they were doing the same thing. They were in a van for like, they were there for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good because they were doing the opposite direction we were going.
Yes.
So we got to swap stories and be like, go here.
Tell them like what parks to check out and stuff. And yeah, it was super fun. Just one of those fun, chill evenings where the conversation just flows really easily and you exchange stories. And obviously now we're, you know, Graham friends, and maybe we'll get to meet up in Indonesia.
Or in Amsterdam, where they live.
Or Amsterdam. Where we'll be once we head to Europe. So, super fun night. The next morning, they departed. We were hungover. It was my second hangover since being in Australia. And so we were a little slow going right away, but we were like, all right, this is the last good weather day, so we got to go on a hike. And we did. We did a pretty aggressive hike, I will say. We hiked down into the valley.
Into the canyon, yeah.
Yeah, of the mountains. And did the Prince Harry Cliff Trail that went down into the Fern Blower Circuit. So this was basically, it looked like Jurassic Park. We saw a lot of, like Australia has, obviously, a number of really cool birds. One is called a superb lyrebird. And this is a gray pheasant-looking bird, but then it has a couple of crazy, almost peacock-like feathers coming out of its tail. So very, very interesting looking. And then some other gray, big gray bird. I don't even know what it was called because, of course, in true Australia fashion, there were no signs stating anything until we got down basically to the end of the hike. And so as we were going on this hike, I was like, Farber, I think there's a lot of snakes in this area. And you kept saying,
no way.
No, because it's too cold. There's not going to be snakes. And sure enough, we get to the one sign and it lists out like five of the worst snakes in this country that you might see in this area. I saw a tiny snake, but it scurried away very, very quickly, thank goodness. And whatever, after that, guess what? There was an amazing RSL in town.
This was the nicest RSL we've ever been to.
Yeah, by far.
It was like a casino lobby. Like, it was just amazing. It was huge, and this guy, who was clearly a vet, was like a host, and he'd be like, please come with me. And he's like, here's how this will work. And da 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 da. And they had two bar. It was just,
they get very excited about bragging how good the food is. Yeah. And they're like, have you been here before? Well, no, but we've been to an RSL. But they're like, you haven't been to this RSL, have you? And we're like, no, we have not.
They had like all these themed nights for like dinner and stuff. Like, you get a T-bone steak on Thursday with a glass of wine for $25 Australian, which is $18.
Yeah. This one was a little bit more expensive. Yep. But I didn't have to convince you to go because it's an RSL.
I love them.
You love them. We're going to do it. So we did that. Super fun. Had lunch. But that night, so, you know, it started raining, but then it let up for a little bit. And in the Blue Mountains, they do something really cool at the Katoomba Cascades, which is right across the road from the holiday park that we stayed in. They illuminate the path and the waterfalls. So we hiked down there, very easy, well-lit path. And it's beautiful. It's glowing. The rain made it so that the falls were really full and flowing. It also just made all the rocks illuminate, and it was very, very beautiful. I'm really glad that we did that. The next day, Christmas Eve, it rained most of the day, but we did go into town. We had made dinner reservations at this place, Bowery, which is in an old church, and there was a band playing.
Yeah, so it was the Wombat Crossing. Yeah. It was a local trio.
It was supposed to be a trio, but for some reason only two of the wombats showed up. Yeah. So we had an amazing meal, some very sassy, in a good way, servers. So we had a really fun Christmas Eve. Went back, next day, Christmas, raining all day long, chilled out in the van.
Episode 9 was actually recorded on Christmas Day.
Yes.
During the pouring rain.
Yes.
And that's kind of like the benefit or the positive side of the weather here is that we are able to actually put time aside when there's like shitty weather and record.
Mm-hmm. We could record a lot.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah. But anyway, we had a lovely steak dinner. We made potatoes. And we tried to make it as American Christmas dinner as we could. With not having an oven and, you know, whatever we could get at the grocery store. Yeah. And it was good. And we also cracked into some of the wine that we'd been saving.
Special that we had from Rosenberg.
From the Barossa. Yep. Yes, Valley. So that was our last day. We drove Wanda back into Sydney, the hour and a half. Very uneventful, thank goodness. We thought there would be a lot of traffic, and there wasn't. And we dropped her off. Which was kind of bittersweet. We had booked a hotel really close to the airport because the next morning we had a very early flight to catch to Perth, which is, we're on that coast right now. We spent 40 days in Wanda. 18 of those days were sunny, but and not super warm every one of those 18 days. The rest were rainy, and we drove a total of 4,217 kilometers, which is 2,620 miles. Back in 2019, when we rented our van in Utah, over 10 days, we drove almost 1,400 miles. So it felt like we drove a lot longer in Wanda, but we actually...
More time.
Didn't.
Less driving.
Just, yeah, more time, less driving. But this is it. We're on our last leg in Australia. And so after we leave here, we will do a summary of our trip here. Our loves, our learns overall.
All right, folks, there it is. That is the summary of our time in Wanda, the kilometers driven, the days of rain, the flies endured. We're going to take a quick break before we get into our final loves and the learns for episode number 10 of Address Unknown. All right, and we are back. Jonica, my love, what is your love?
I love the push and pull in our relationship. Of course, we argue and we fight. How could you not, right? After spending almost 8 weeks together in a van. It's been trying, but I think we're learning to communicate better, right? Like our communication skills are growing. I am someone who is always very quick to shut down if I was pissed or upset for any sort of reason, and I can't really do that now because we're just in this very small confined space. So if something is bothering me or you're pissing me off, I will voice that. And so I'm happy that I feel like I am able to speak up a little bit more. We also know when we need space and we don't need to be constantly talking. So again, if we can make it through 8 weeks in a van together, we can pretty much do anything.
And what is your learn?
We're not van life people.
Okay.
We're too tall. Which, who would ever say we're too tall for anything?
Explain that. Explain it to people who've never been in one of these, how we're too tall for this van.
The beds are too short. So, Wanda, we had a bit more room, right? We could sleep on our stomachs. We could kind of, I wouldn't say stretch out, but it wasn't as though, like, the tip of your head and the soles of your feet were touching the walls, yes, as they are in this new van.
And you can stand up in both of these.
You can stand up, yes, but the sleeping is the issue. So that's why we're too tall. But we're not van life people. That's fine. We splurged on a nice hotel in Perth, and I am so excited to stay there. All right, Farber, what's your love?
My love is that after driving for these 40 days in Wanda, the 2,600 plus miles behind the wheel, you drove all of it. Mm-hmm. And my love is that I really do very much appreciate, even though I may not always voice it,
aww,
your tolerance while driving in these conditions. I don't think anybody really knows until you've done it the challenges that are faced when, like, our first hour out of Sydney was a nightmare because it was traffic. The van was picked up on a single lane road where there's two car lanes, basically.
Yeah.
And returned in the same way. Jonica did not scuff, bump, hit a single thing. and so my love here is that your willingness to not relinquish control to me in any way and let me drive this van. And so, therefore, I got to see a lot of things. I got to enjoy a lot of the, like, sights while sitting in the passenger seat. But at the same time, really very much putting out respect and love for you for driving.
Thank you. That's very nice.
That's my love, at least for the time in Wanda. Mm-hmm. Who knows? You could crash this bitch into a wall before we get out of here in 10 days.
He's a boy.
Pizza boy.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get into that later. My learn. We go to Google Maps with high dependency, right? Like, everyone's like, where are you going? Here, I'll look it up on my map. Or, I want to go look for a nail salon, in your case. Or, mm-hmm. like, oh, I want to look for a place to get, like, a mountain bike fix, whatever it is. You go to Google Maps and you just put in, like, the general words, and you can generally find what you need. So, our reliance on that technology led me to think that going to Lake Mungo was going to be an oasis in the desert. Mm-hmm. Because, as we had discussed previously, there is a blue lake on the map.
Yep.
And the same thing...
Even when you go to the state park website, I will say, it also, like, their map shows a lake.
Yes. And the same thing can be said for the driving roads, the conditions of the driving roads. Whereas, we've talked about this before, the Albania trip that was a road on the map, but it was actually a dirt road, and it took, 8 hours.
It was a goat trip.
Yeah, this trip, which we said was going to be an hour and a half, and was, like, 5 hours.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the learn, is that I will no longer make the same mistake twice in assuming a place just visually is going to be that way because the map says it is. I'm going to do a little more due diligence, dig a little deeper, and actually research these parks or these places if we're going to go to them to ensure that we're not fucked again.
Don't be so vulgar.
That's my learn.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it for us. Episode 10. Woo! We made it to 10. That's
double digits.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Episode 10 of Address Unknown. I am totally behind on updating the site. It will happen. The internet here has not been spectacular. So we are in and out of service. We have been in some very primitive places already again, which you'll hear about in the next episode. But bear with me. The site will get updated. We'll have all the things on there. But yeah, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy
2024. It's going to be a fun and interesting year. And until next time, bye.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.